You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Another quick turnaround for the Orange as they get set for Clemson here. We're breaking it all down for you on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Aki and Tim Leonard. The only statistic I care about right now, Tim, is whether or not our guy, James Zuba, is in the building for this one. We don't need to bundle digits for this. All we know is that the Orange is 9-0 when Zuba is in the house to cover the game. So, James, if you're listening right now, we need to know, are you at the game? Because it really could decide... It might decide whether or not Syracuse is going dancing this year. It might decide whether or not you and I are eating the charred orange. So we just need to know, James. Anyway, if you're new to the show, check us out on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. Also, if you are new as well, hit that subscribe button. You'll get daily SU pods in your feed every single weekday morning. It's Syracuse. It's Clemson. This was an ugly game the first time out in the beginning of February. The Tigers took this one 78-61. It actually really felt like more than that. It felt more like a 25 to 30 point game, but the Orange did claw its way back a little bit. Joe Girard actually had one of his better games in that matchup as well, although you and I both know those were empty statistics because I believe almost all of them came in the second half in terms of his scoring. Anyway, this is a Clemson team that is very different, I would say, than the Clemson team that Syracuse faced the first time around. However, they have gotten a little bit hotter lately. Ever since that Syracuse game, they have won every single matchup. However, the disclaimer that you have to throw in there is that they really haven't played anyone too spectacular. They have the home win against Georgia Tech by 2, and then you have wins against Wake Forest and Miami. There was a little bit of a layoff in there as well. So they've got Syracuse and they've got Pitt to close out the season. And I look at this matchup for Clemson. They played on Saturday. They're going to have their normal layoff heading into this game. And the Tigers right now, they've got a little momentum rolling. But it's kind of a toss-up game for me still. This is going to be this is not going to be the 17-20 point game, I think, that we saw the first time between these two teams.
Yeah, I really hope so. And so much of it depends on how much is Kadari Richmond, or how healthy is he? How effective is he? How effective is Quincy? Like, all that stuff and all the injuries that we really just won't know about until this tips off here at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Clemson is playing some good basketball. They have not lost, and they didn't lose in the month of February after a terrible January when they came off the COVID pause and dropped 4 of 5. They bounced back 5 straight wins. That's their longest winning streak in conference play since 1990 for them. And one of those wins was against UNC at home by 13. They crushed Syracuse in that stretch. And really, that game, looking back on it, the stats that really stood out to me were the three-point shooting. Clemson's not a great three-point shooting team, but in that game, you'll remember Nick Honor really lit it up. He had 5 threes on 8 attempts. Yeah, he was big. And Clemson as a team shot a 10 for 23 from 3. Cuse was 5 for 20 from 3 in the game. So just 25% for the Orange. Like you said, Girard turned it on the second half, but Kadari played more minutes than him in that game, 29 to 25, and they were kind of out of reach by the time that he got it going.
I'll say this about the three-point shooting. I don't see Clemson shooting the 43% that they did against the Orange, and here's why. When you look at conference play so far this season, only one opponent has shot above 30% against the Orange this year in their own building. That was that Notre Dame game that Syracuse came back and pulled off a miraculous comeback. The next best in conference at home against Syracuse is Boston College when they shot 29%. So Syracuse has been very good at home, especially defending the three-point ball. And if they can neutralize Clemson in that regard, they give themselves a nice chance to win. But again, a lot of that is going to hinge on whether or not Kadari Richmond is healthy and can give you good defense at the top, especially against a guy like Nick Honor.
Right. It's something that came to mind after the UNC game, and it'll probably get lost in the shuffle once we're removed from the season for a while. But the not having the home games against good teams earlier in the year, or not having a lot of quad one opportunities against home teams, literally 0 so far to this point, and Clemson is a quad two opportunity. We should note, as of us recording, which is early Tuesday morning, NC State has moved up into a quad one game. They're right on the brink of 75 in the net. So hopefully NC State.
Yeah, right now,
winning.
Everyone is a big NC State fan.
Exactly.
That's the way it has to be. And Clemson, you're kind of watching to make sure they can get into that quad one territory. They're right on the doorstep of it right now. But the nice thing about Clemson is this is not their last regular season game. They still have a game against a reeling Pitt team. So you're praying for a Syracuse win, and then on top of that, you're praying for Clemson to blow the doors off of Pitt. Because
yeah.
Those Pitt games, at the end of the day, I think if you're Syracuse, you're looking more for the good wins and caring less about the bad losses. And if you can get these Clemson games to be quad one opportunities, and I don't care as much about the Pitt if that falls off to a quad three or four opportunity. I'd rather see Clemson become a quad one opportunity, and then you potentially have two or three quad one wins when the tournament committee is evaluating your resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just they haven't had a ton of chances for these home type of wins until very late in the year here. Now they get two. They got the Virginia Tech one earlier in the year, and I've been surprised how much that home court advantage has still held up as an advantage for teams. Like, you look at Clemson's schedule, and yeah, they had a neutral court win over Alabama early in the year, which looks tremendous now, but Alabama wasn't Alabama on December 12th. It was still a nice win for them. They also had a neutral court win over a Purdue team that is now 13 on KenPom, which at the time, Purdue was not what they are now. It's a very young Purdue team that has really come into form,
right.
But they haven't really done a whole lot away from home this year. They beat Miami, but it was a one-point win over a bad Miami team on the road.
Right.
And then they beat Wake Forest the other day as part of this five-game winning streak. And that was a 60-39 drubbing over Wake. But that is their only two road games in ACC play that they have won. The others were kind of in that COVID pause comeback period where they really struggled against Georgia Tech, Florida State, and Duke on the road. So in this stretch, five-game winning streak, four of those five have come at home. Now, good wins over Georgia Tech, which was a wild game that really they got lucky to win because I think it was Honor banked in a three right at the buzzer or right before it to win the game by 2 points. So you could say that maybe they're due for a loss here, and I do think Syracuse is trending in the right direction based on what we saw against UNC.
Real quick, got to tell you about the best place on the internet to shop for our car parts. That, of course, is rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at your home and also in your pocket. And one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money. And that's the best thing about rockauto.com is that you could choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts that you're going to get at a chain store or new car dealership. And not only that, but chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So rockauto.com's prices, though, they're the same for everyone, and they're always reliably low. And one of the best parts about rockauto.com is it's a family business that's been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. It's the consistency that makes them the best. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers, and be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, when you go to rockauto.com to fix up your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Couple matchups that I want to watch in this game, and I think it starts and ends with Joe Girard and Jesse Edwards, because who knows what we're going to see out of Kadari Richmond? What's his health status going to be? You're going to need to see Joe Girard play some meaningful minutes in this game. You can bash Joe Girard all you want, all right? He's going to have to be important in this game. He had the 19 points last time out. And listen, if Kadari's healthy, then I think that removes Joe from the equation. I think that we will see, once again, the minutes distribution be... I don't think it'll be as drastic as the, 31-10 that we
yeah.
saw. And really, that doesn't even tell the full story. I mean, if Kadari doesn't get injured, it's probably more like 35-6
if Kadari remains healthy through the finish of the game. But I think the real story is going to be, what is Joe Girard going to give you? Because at the end of the day, he's still probably going to start. And let's be honest, too. I mean, this is your third game in 5 days. He's going to be the freshest guy out there for you. This is not a good spot. We talked about that UNC game being a good spot for Syracuse. This is not a good spot for Syracuse here on this quick turnaround once again for the Orange.
Yeah, I hope Girard doesn't have to be important, because I think in a perfect world, you know, Kadari is the guy again, and you get that minutes disparity that we've seen.
The perfect world has Kadari as, okay, maybe not fully healthy, but he's like 90%. I don't think he's going to be fully healthy, but if he can be at like 90 or 85% and still be effective, because again, Kadari doesn't have to score to be the player that you need him to be. You just need him to be able to maneuver around in the lane, get the ball to some open teammates, set up Buddy Boeheim, and then give you stellar defense on the other end.
Yeah. I really wonder, what are the odds that Jim starts Kadari if he's healthy? And I hope that we get, it's almost like when we were talking about the quarterback discussion in football, and we said, when will Dino bench Rex? And then finally he went to Morgan, but it was because Rex had a pop-up injury that we weren't really expecting one game. I hope we actually see Jim make the call, and he gets the opportunity to make the call. Again, like I said on yesterday's show, don't see it happening, given his track record, given his sort of willingness to stick with Joe at the start of games. But if there's ever a time, you'd think that he would start Kadari, assuming he's healthy. I guess he kind of has the cop-out, though, that like, oh yeah, he didn't practice yesterday, maybe. He'll say if right. He didn't practice. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see it. Well, it's the wait-and-see game. I do wonder what would happen if Kadari was fully healthy. I really do. So, yeah. And listen, I think it actually is getting to the point now where it might be nice to see what Girard can do as maybe the spark off the bench. Is that a role that would suit him a little bit better at this point? Here's another thing that I want to watch, too, is what does Jesse Edwards look like? Because remember, Amir Sims feasted on this team. It was another big man double-double. He had 18 and 11 against this team. What is Jesse Edwards going to look like? Because I'd imagine we're going to see a healthy dose of him once again. He did not play the first time between these two teams. Remember, this was that one game that Barama Sidibe did appear in. Looked awful. He had 11 minutes, four fouls. So you didn't get a lot from Barama Sidibe in this game. Did not rebound the basketball once as well for this team. So I'm looking to see, what does Jesse Edwards give you against another dominant, or I shouldn't say dominant big man. I mean, Amir Sims is very good, but he is a physical big man. He is going to try to just eat Jesse Edwards' lunch down there. And I don't like the matchup against the physicality, but if you've got two guys like Marek and Jesse that can give you a little bit of something defensively, then I like the matchup a little more. I don't know if Amir Sims is going to get his 18 and 11, but at the same time, it's not like we haven't seen the big men go off for double-doubles even when Jesse is in there. Moses Wright had 31 and 16, and then Garrison Brooks had 18 and 15 the other day for UNC. So it's not like just because Jesse is in, the big men haven't still eaten. It's just that you've gotten a little bit of something extra, and I feel like you're maximizing Marek, Quincy, and some of those other guys on the offensive end when Jesse is in there.
I did think it was interesting, Armando Bacot, I saw this quote after we recorded last night, and you probably saw this too. He said something like, when Edwards was out there, they did a much better job of boxing out, and it was tougher to get rebounds. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of that.
And he even called out Marek and said that Marek wasn't doing much boxing out. It was Jesse that was doing boxing out. He even referred to Marek by name, and I don't know what's more surprising, to see Armando Bacot refer to Marek Dolezal by name. I don't know if Marek's just become some sort of mainstay in the ACC to the point where he's got that clout across the conference.
Probably has.
Or that Jesse is this phenomenal box-out guy out of the zone defense. Both are kind of refreshing to me.
Yeah, I thought Quincy was tremendous getting rebounds in the second half, too. He deserved a lot of the credit for why they somehow made the rebound margin for being down 15 early. It was really an even game for most of the game, the way that they hung on the glass. I know they ended up losing by 20, so it's weird to say that. But if you took a snapshot from the last 33 minutes of the game was pretty much like plus 3 or 4 UNC, which is a win for Syracuse. And Clemson did dominate them on the glass last time around. I think it was a plus 15 advantage or somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup for Jesse, but it's a really, really tough matchup for Marek. So I do hope we see Jesse's son.
So, of course, we have to explain what the tournament implications are here. And I'll just read this little blurb from ESPN Plus. They do their bubble watch with John Gassaway. I'm paraphrasing. I'm cutting through some of it here. But the premise is, here is Jim Boeheim again. Welcome, sir. Syracuse is still seeking its first quad one win. The home victory over North Carolina was quad two. Now, this was written last night before NC State had bumped its way up into quad one. And the season finale at home against Clemson might or might not qualify. That will depend on whether the Tigers are above or below number 30 in the net. It is perhaps rather an odd way to approach this question of whether Syracuse should be in the NCAA tournament, but here we are. Watch that Clemson ranking. So you need to obviously win this game. There's no maneuvering around that. This game needs to be a win. And then on top of that, you need Clemson to play well, not just against Pitt, but in the ACC tournament as well, as long as you're not playing Syracuse. So you are rooting for three teams the rest of the way if you're Syracuse: Clemson, NC State, and Virginia Tech. Those are the three teams on your route list for Syracuse the remainder of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could throw in UNC as well.
And throw in Carolina,
yeah,
yes.
There's so many to root for at this point. And it's really just, like I've said a couple times, it's just root for the ACC to be better than you think. Because right now I saw 7 teams in on Lenardi's latest bracketology from the ACC. I think that did include UNC before the Monday game. So whether they'll be in on Tuesday morning, I don't know. I haven't looked. But Syracuse is still a good bit out. They just got to keep doing what they're doing and try and plug along. It's a tough spot here for Clemson, or for Syracuse going against Clemson. The one thing I will say, Clemson, the more you dig into their numbers, and I kind of fell into this trap last time. I took Syracuse, I remember, to beat Clemson on the road on that Saturday game. And it's just because they don't do anything spectacular, and it doesn't strike you as a bad matchup for Cuse when you really look at what they do.
Yeah, they're not overly big. They're good defensively, but even
there's still some holes.
I mean, in terms of their defensive effectiveness against shooting, it's middle of the pack in the ACC in terms of effective field goal percentage. There are still holes, even though they are a good defensive team.
Right.
And in fact, you could even argue they get a little lucky because they lead the conference in non-steal turnovers. So that means that they are not necessarily forcing a whole heck of a lot of turnovers. Sometimes the opponent's just throwing the ball away. Now, you can attribute some of that to, oh, maybe they're playing physical defense and they're getting in your jersey and making you panic, because I guess that does sort of relay into the stingy defense that we know Syracuse has had trouble with. But offensively, they're 13th in efficiency, 12th in three-point percentage. They're not a great offensive team. They turn the ball over as well. They're not a good offensive rebounding team.
Yep.
So there's so many things to throw in the equation here that kind of lends you to believe that Syracuse might actually be the better team, but I don't like the spot for the Orange in this one.
So, I don't either.
It's a tough one. Third game in 5 days. You don't get that very often when you are in college basketball, aside from conference tournaments. So we'll see what happens here. We do have an analytics report to get to, and that is coming courtesy of our guy Anthony DeBundo here in DeBundo's Digits.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup.
Stats, everybody!
DeBundo's Digits.
If you ain't taking stats, stick the out the class.
On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
I'll just stand a hollers. Where you at? Let's go!
The Clemson Tigers are red hot entering Wednesday's trip to the Dome. They won 5 straight ACC games and have been shooting the lights out. Clemson made 50% of its threes in 2 of its last 3 games and made 43.5% against the Orange in their first meeting 4 games ago. Syracuse will need the Tigers to cool off if they want to win this game. Clemson is one of the highest variance 3-point shooting teams in the country, so this game is highly dependent on which Tigers offense shows up, the good one or the bad one. The Orange will need to avoid foul trouble on the interior as Clemson ranks 37th in free throw rate offensively. They get to the line. One thing is for certain, though. No matter which offense shows up, the Clemson defense will show. The Tigers are 11th in defensive efficiency. They've held 8 opponents under 51 points in 20 games this season. This is a matchup of contrasting styles as SU ranks high in the pace numbers, especially on offense, and the Tigers are one of the slower teams in the nation at 327th in pace. They've played the 21st toughest schedule in the NCAA. They're one of the deeper teams in the nation as they rank 43rd in bench minutes. And that's just another way that these two teams are very different. The player to watch for Clemson is forward Amir Sims. The Orange will remember him from previous meetings. The SU zone had done a good job against him in those past meetings until this season. Sims had never scored more than 9 points in a game against Syracuse, but he tallied 18 points and 11 rebounds in the 17-point Clemson win in February. He makes 61% of his twos. He's a great offensive rebounder and an excellent passer. Clemson is still quite lucky on the year, though. They rank 4th highest in KenPom luck and number 1 in Bart Turvick's fun metric, also known as fortune unexplained by numbers, fun. Basically, this fun metric takes into account how the Tigers have done in close games and how much their actual record deviates from their expected number of wins based on the box scores of each of their games. Clemson is 4-1 in close games this season, despite not being a great free throw shooting team. But there's one major difference between the Tigers and the Cuse's last 3 opponents. While Georgia Tech, Duke, and UNC were all trending up entering the game against Syracuse, the Tigers have not played as well in recent games as they did at the beginning of the season. For the year, Clemson is 119th in Bart Torvik offense and 13th in defense. But in the last 10 games, they rank 157th in offense and 56th in defense. They've been very up and down. And just as a comparison, Syracuse ranks 74th in the fun metric and is 5-2 in close games themselves, but the Orange are a much better free throw shooting team, which tends to correlate to good records in close games. KenPom gives the Orange a 51% chance of beating Clemson at home by a projected score of 68-67. Bart Torvik also has the game as a toss-up, with the Orange at 53% to win by a 67-66 prediction score. This game could have major implications for whether the Orange play on the first day of the ACC tournament or the second. A win would lock them into the second day, whereas a loss could leave them playing on the first day if NC State wins its final 2 games of the season.
Our thanks, as always, to Anthony DeBunda. Go check out his work on the Daily Orange and then also at Anthony DeBunda on Twitter. Coming up next, we're going to get to the prop shop, go through all of our theoretical picks for this week's game.
Last break on the show for betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. I've loved having my account on betonline.ag. I used our promo code LOCKEDON. That got me a 50% welcome bonus, and it's a good time to be betting right now with March Madness coming up. A lot of college basketball games, NHL in full swing. They even have some fun props. We'll see if maybe they do another Jim Boeheim picking his nose. Kind of hope that's not the case, but maybe it is free money if you want to jump on that. Maybe check out the website and see if they do it again. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Don't forget our promo code LOCKEDON. That gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that promo code is LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag.
All right, time for the prop shop here, our favorite portion of the week. We get to go through all of these hypothetical plays for the upcoming matchup, Syracuse and Clemson. We know the story from the first time. Tigers blew out the Orange, and a big reason why was Nick Honor. We're going to set the line for him at 2.5 three-pointers made. Will he go over or under that mark? Nick Honor, 2.5.
So I'll take a slight over. I'm rooting against it, obviously, and I do think there's a chance that he gets held in check. He brought up a good point, how I just don't really see Clemson shooting the lights out from three again on the road this time. Now you got Kadari probably playing, hopefully, if he's healthy, a lot of the minutes at the top of the zone. I do think Syracuse, from a matchup standpoint, why they lost last game was they got crushed on the glass, and that Clemson made a lot of threes. Clemson, I'm hesitant to say it, but I don't see them making as many threes with Kadari up there, so you kind of fix that. And I feel like rebounding, if anything, gets better when you have another body down low in Jesse. So I feel like they'll be a little bit better in those two troublesome categories from last time, and I'll take a slight over for Nick Honor.
I'm going to roll with the under here. I'm looking at his game log. He's only gone over the 2.5 threshold 3 times in ACC play. Hasn't done it since the Syracuse game. 2 of 2 against Georgia Tech, 1 of 4 against Wake, and 0 of 3 against Miami. Part of it is he doesn't really get the volume. I mean, he's not really shooting more than 3 or 4 threes a game. So we'll see. And you know, I think Jim Boeheim has done a good thing in terms of making adjustments to individuals the second time out. So I think that there will be a concerted effort to make sure Honor is not getting those three-point looks. Give me the under on 2.5 three-pointers for Nick Honor. 2.5 three-pointers made for Nick Honor. Next up, Jesse Edwards. We're setting the minutes over-under here, 18.5. What do you like?
I'm going to take the one I'm rooting for, the over, baby. I hope he gets to it. And if he doesn't, then that's kind of sad if Jim still doesn't think he's ready enough
I'll say
to
this.
Play 19.
I'm going to roll with the over, too. The only thing that will keep him from getting the over, and it's a very real possibility, is the foul trouble. I think that is the only way he doesn't get to 18.5. Because in both of these games, fouls have been a problem for him. He played really well in the UNC game, but he fouled out.
Yeah, I actually think he'll probably hit the under because also Marek, I mean, I'm going to take the over, don't get me wrong, but Marek has been in foul trouble in the past two games, which has given
Boeheim
more room to play him. He's played 24 minutes the past two games.
And it's one of those things, if Alan Griffin or Quincy Guerrier aren't coming out firing out of the gate offensively, and if they're not giving much defensively either, we will see Jim go to Jesse to get Alan Griffin and move Marek over to the 4, Quincy to the 3, and you can get in the game that way as well. So I think defensively, it's going to be something to watch for on the wings because that's also a back channel for getting Jesse into the game early. So I'm going to go with the over as well. Who's going to lead Syracuse in scoring in this one? Is it going to be Buddy at plus 180, Quincy plus 200, Griffin plus 210, JG3 plus 450, Marek plus 550, or Kadari plus 600?
This game has gotten a lot harder to pick. I know you hit Buddy against UNC, and I feel like
I had a good week last week.
Yeah, you did. You caught up a little bit. 6-1 last week for you, or last game. Part of me wants to take Griffin because that's just how he's operated, and I'll just ride the roller coaster and... You know that'll come out with kind of a vengeance after literally not making a field goal until the very end of the game against UNC. Part of me kind of wants to take Quincy. I'll take Griffin just sort of as let's ride the roller coaster, and he's got the best odds at plus 210 of the three.
I'm going to go, this could be the Quincy bounce back game. They don't have a bunch of big guys that can really intimidate you shot blocking wise. They're middle of the pack in terms of shot blocking. And I think Quincy is starting to find something here. He had a fantastic effort against UNC. I don't think he'll start off as slow this time as he did against UNC. So I like Quincy. And we're starting to see him step out a little bit and hit that jumper with some more frequency, which could be a big thing to watch for in this game. All right, last up here. We've got the spread and the total. KenPom right now is projecting a 1-point Syracuse win. So wow. Some good news for Orange fans there. Do you like Syracuse to outright win this game?
Very torn on this game, and I think the tiebreaker this year, I didn't go to it against UNC, but I should have. It's just been the spot that you get the team in the schedule. So given that, I'll use that as a tiebreaker and take Clemson. I do think the more I looked at the matchup, the more I started to believe Syracuse could win the game. But a couple things. One, the injury concerns. Or just, I mean, they'll probably all play. Like, Richmond will probably play, but how effective will he be? Quincy.
It's the 2-day turnaround.
Yeah, it's
so,
just the spot. It's so tough. And that's why I was surprised to see KenPom still have him by 1. We'll see what Vegas does. That hasn't dropped yet. And the betonline.ag line hasn't dropped yet. But yeah, I don't think Clemson's remarkable, but they just kind of get the job done. And I think I'll lean with them just because the line is minus 1 there for Keys that we're seeing on KenPom.
Yeah, I do like the matchup. I don't necessarily like the spot. And we saw in the UNC game, the spot mattered more than the matchup. And with these quick 2-day turnarounds, it usually does. So I'm with you. I'm going to roll with Clemson in this one. Listen, it's not going to be the 17-point outcome that we saw or the way it felt, 20 to 25 points, that we saw the first time. I think it's going to be narrow. It very well could be a 2 or 3 point Clemson win, but we'll have to wait and see. That's going to be interesting. And then the total they're projecting is very low, 135. Is it going to go over or under that number?
I'll take the over there slightly.
Yeah, I usually like the under the second times around, but that number's just so low that I'm going to roll with the over as well. All right, that's going to do it for us here on our Clemson preview. We're going to get you all the recap that you need coming up on Thursday morning to get you ready. And listen, we'll have a lot clearer picture of the bubble. If Syracuse wins this game, they would jump from the next four out to the first four out. And I don't know exactly where they would slot in, but they'd be creeping a lot closer and closer, and then it's a couple of ACC wins, and you might be able to sneak your way in once again. So we will track all of that for you on our recap show on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.